Hello, friends. Welcome to the C3 podcast. I'm your host and co-creator, Myron Isaiah Bryant. Thank you for taking the time to listen and being a part of our community. At its core, C3 exists to create a safe space for us all to be humans first, learn from each other's professional and life experiences, and choose to co-create a healthy community of betterment. I'm excited for today's conversation with our guest. And with that, let's dive into the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the C3 podcast with Myron Bryant. I'm super excited today to be joined by my friend Megan. And we're going to be talking a little bit about her career journey, her values, and some really cool connections between teaching, sales, and nonprofits and healthy community. Without further ado, hello, Megan. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. Doing awesome. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk. I laughed this morning because you poked up saying, hey, I want to talk about teaching. I thought, oh, that's something I don't actually bring up often, partly because I feel like an imposter in talking about that. So I was thinking about that this morning going, oh, I've not had many people ask me about this. So I'm excited to dive into that and appreciate the opportunity to reflect on this and really just come together and see how we can share with others.
We all have imposter syndrome, whether it be teaching or tech or whatever we're doing, right? It's like, what? Are we in the right spot? And then you spend some time there and it's like, I think I kind of like it. Right. Well, we appreciate you joining in here. Obviously, this is a very human-focused podcast there. So we'll dive into your career journey and the connections we kind of started to talk about there and your values. But first and foremost, human first, who is Megan?
So based here in Atlanta, Georgia, a third child, which I always, always include because sometimes that can lead to, I always joke a little bit of indecision. But ultimately the root of it, people loving, problem solving, analytical, creative. I joke with people. I started as an art major, finished as math, in college. So kind of my brain kind of works both ways. A wife, a mother, Enneagram 7 lover of outdoors, and I love a good themed party. Man, do I love a good themed party and anything physical activity. So I guess those are really kind of where I'm at of if I were to look at everything that encompasses who I am. Those are all the things when you asked me, I thought, oh, all right, I'm bringing it all together.
I love that. The love a good party. I know you've been good at building community here in Atlanta. So we'll talk about that later because you've thrown some really great like themed events there. And then you talked about something that was new to me, like you graduated college with both, I think, art and math there. Not many people can do that. So that's amazing. I'm pretty sure Da Vinci was the last person to do that.
I didn't even think about that. Well, it was kind of more like, how am I going to make this work into a career? I was like, how do we combine this for sure?
Well, it's always interesting hearing people's backgrounds, and that's kind of a good segue to our next question, right? Is, hey, you know, what has been your professional journey? Can you start off at college, then maybe go up until today there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always kind of joke, because if you're looking at it on paper, it doesn't always make a lot of sense, quite honestly, when you have it. And I think a lot of people can say that, right? I think when we were in school, it was like, oh, you'll go to college and whatever you graduate in, that is what you're doing. And I'm like, wow, I couldn't be further from that. But it all shaped me and I'm not resentful at all or regretting that journey. So I think my first job out of college was teaching. I did a student teaching job. Picked up and moved to Denver. I was in school in Nashville. And I actually had the opportunity to student teach at a middle college high school, which was an alternative school, which I'll get at here a little bit later. And then went on to teaching into seventh grade math. Then out of the blue, I was living the ski life, teaching and then skiing on the weekends in Colorado. My brother called me here in Atlanta and just said, there's this nonprofit that sounds a lot like you. They focus on youth and they focus on physical activity. They're hiring. Would you be interested? And I thought, I just bought new ski boots. Like, why the heck would I move?
I just got my boots.
Absolutely crazy. And I called and talked with their founders and I was like, oh man, there's so much opportunity to scale this mission and really impact more youth. I'll move there for a year. And I'm now in my 11th year here in Atlanta. And in my role there at the nonprofit Evolved, was able to lead that as the executive director there. And it was awesome. I joked with everybody, and this is how I really, what I always love about nonprofits is the number of, I literally think I kept four outfits in my car all the time as to like meeting with a donor, meeting with a youth, you know, and just jumping around for that. And I think between that and then going into the nonprofit world really translated really well. And then as fast forward into that, then went into working with more nonprofits and really realizing, and that example was, how are we demonstrating the impact and really telling our story of an impact beyond just the immediate lives, but also from the economy side of things in a whole city. And so that's really my journey into now. I'm a solutions consultant for a technology implementation firm. And so on paper, I think, you know, kind of a long journey. I made it make more sense verbally, but I think at the root of all of those experiences, people and helping them in problem solving, whether that was teaching, whether that was nonprofits, and really just coming alongside to build community there. So that's kind of my long twisted journey with a couple other side things in between for sure.
I love what you summarize that as is people and problem solving. Again, that's come up so many times on previous episodes and will continue to come up with, is everyone's job is, you know, in many ways just a title to some degree, but everyone more often than not deals with people or has the ability to serve people. And then everyone more often than not has the ability to solve problems. And that's what most people do. Right. Yeah. You do it in different ways and with different specialities, but that's what we all do.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, I think so often, and as I mentioned earlier, like, oh, I don't really talk about teaching because I think for some reason we don't think about it as problem solving. And so getting at that, and that's even, you know, based in math, why I loved, why I did degree math, because I just love the problem solving aspect of it. I was like, ooh, how's that look? Yeah. We're all problem solvers.
Oh, man. Talking with you, right, you talked about the math component. I remember, so I graduated engineering from college and then went directly into sales pretty quickly there. But balancing that, right, the left brain, right brain is something that I've experienced just throughout my career as well. And yeah, it's just such a cool, I think, track to have both that very analytical problem-solving ability, but also the very human artistic ability to see that as well. So it's, I love the balance, and I appreciate others that have that type of diversity and can see both sides there.
Yeah, most definitely.
In terms of values that help you be successful throughout this journey so far, you know, what are Megan's key values?
Well, it's funny to ask this because I'm like, again, values, I'm striving to live by them every day. I'm not going to say I'm perfect at them.
Yeah.
If I were to break that down, I feel like this is a little bit overused term, but transparency. And I mean this in the sense of we're all just human, right? Yeah. And I always just try to break down. I'm from East Tennessee, so kind of backwoods. So sometimes I can be a little bit too joking with people. And I'm like, ooh, I should have been maybe a little more buttoned up. But I think what I've come is people really, and you and I have been on calls together before. Sometimes I'm like, oops, I should not have just thrown that joke out, you know? But I think really just being, I mean transparency in the sense of like taking off the mask and allowing people to see you as human. I do think COVID allowed us a little bit of that. I know in past jobs, I might have hidden that I had a child, you know, and now it's like, sorry, I got to go, you know, and like, or she's coming running in. And so I think just that transparency of seeing like we're not this one way, or we have to have these compartments of our life. And so I think that I would say is something really huge, values, just to really be real with people. And while I don't like to, you know, always share about myself, I think sometimes when we're willing to share about ourselves, it opens the door for others to do so. And I would say following up on that humility. So in that, as people just open that up, being willing to learn from them and saying, and I think that was, I always think about, there's two weird pivotal things. So this might be a really ridiculous story that now I'm like laughing. I probably shouldn't share, but I'm going to. So talk about growing up in East Tennessee. One of our field trips was actually to the prison, for better or worse. I don't know. I don't know.
Who planned this?
So kids, be careful. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but this just popped into my head. And being a lover of art, I remember going into the art department and it was a all men's prison, and there was some incredible art in there.
What?
And I remember just being like, wow, we've kind of segmented, you know, and it was just like, there's talent, there's skill here. And it just really made me like very open to that. And so I think of that is a pivotal opportunity that always sticks out of like, there's always something to learn. And then also I remember waiting tables and saying like, wow, this is the most diverse group of people I could have ever experienced. And so I'm always looking for opportunities. Right now I'm doing a business mentorship through my alumni. Every time I come home, I'm like, I would never have the opportunity to meet these people just because we live in such like our bubbles, for better or worse. Yeah. It's human nature, right? And so I think just approaching it with so much humility to say, I can learn from you. I haven't all figured it out. And so I think of the prison, the waiting tables, were just two really big experiences at a young age, very young age, that made me go, wow, they're wildly different from me. And how can I still learn from them? And so I really always try to take that, into my everyday today and just saying like, wow, we are not as different as maybe we think we are, from the surface level. And there's something that my way may not be the correct way. Of how I might approach a problem or anything like that, and how that's translated today. So I'd say that's value number two. Third value, and this is something I'm even leaning more into as I continue to grow, is awkwardness equals growth. I'm always seeking out, pre-kids, it was a little bit easier to make myself uncomfortable because I am a little bit in a rigid routine of like timeline, but I think it shows up a lot more in my professional career and saying like, ooh, that felt weird, you know, of like, ooh, that conversation. But always reminding myself like that actually means we're growing. And so trying to remind myself of that, and then also even trying to, you know, do even small things that I'm like, that feels really weird. Or, I mean, even small things at the gym where I'm like, ooh, that looks really hard. I'm like, let's try it, you know? And so I think that just awkwardness equals growth can translate to so many areas of our lives, and also just help foster a sense of curiosity. That's something I know for me as a mom, I'm always like, there's one thing I can teach you. It's like, I want you to have a sense of curiosity about everything. And Grant might come to bite me occasionally right now because we're in the why stage, but it does make me question everything. So, yeah, I would say transparency, humility, and awkwardness equals growth are key values for me.
I love that. I identify with every single one of those values as well there, starting with, again, transparency and maybe a little bit of humility, right? That's what we're doing here in this podcast, is making sure everyone understands that we're more alike than we are different, right? Agnostic of what our title is. Obviously, this has a very professional look at that, but you know, I know you and I have talked about that in every aspect of life, right? We kind of put these segments up and we find out that these are just kind of fake walls that we have, and that we're all just human in this weird, awkward, growing experience, and we don't understand it yet. And I love that you go out your way to find that awkwardness, right? Again, as you put it, whether it's the gym, professional, or just your journey, right? It's always trying to put ourselves in a position where we can meet someone new and different and learn. That's the beauty and the curse of COVID, right? Is that exactly what we're doing here. Like, it's, you know, podcast or webcam, we feel like we're almost in people's homes now. So to your point, you know, it's like, hey, this is my house. Totally. Hey, this is my dog. This is my child.
Isn't that so true? Like, even just yesterday, someone's like, oh, what's that? What's your calendar? And I was like, oh, I don't have it blurred. And then I was like, actually, yep, this is my office. You know, yep. And I was just very real about it. And she was like, oh, you're a lot more of a planner than I thought, you know? And I was like, I'm just going to say thank you. You know, but you're totally right.
I'm just going to say thank you.
Introducing people to just like the realness of life. Yeah.
Yeah. So at some point someone needs to have like a work from home MTV Cribs edition. That's one of my favorite icebreakers on calls is like, just go pick up something random from your house and show it. Cause it's we're all just like there together. I mean,
a
so
show
yeah.
And tell, like what you, or, oh, if there are days if you're like, come look on the floor. Like there are definitely calls where I'm like, oh, if my daughter is home, I'm like, if only you knew what was going on below this desk.
You're just
she's
sitting
like,
there.
Markers on the wall. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? Yeah. And there have been times my colleagues, I'm like, check this out.
This eyes glued to the camera, just shaking.
Right. Like I'm literally looking at permanent marker right here on a bookshelf. I'm like, I've learned hairspray removes a lot.
These are the pro tips we need more on this podcast, right?
Jeez. Things I never thought I'd learn.
I appreciate again that we could just have these human conversations and like chat about all this stuff. I mean, one other thing that you mentioned, right, is that the prison trip there, right? Which I think is
is I'm still laughing that I've shared that. I'm like, why did that just come out of my mouth?
It's a beautiful story. I mean, it encapsulates so much of what I think we experience, right? Segmenting, right? You said like, hey, these are people who are in the system. They've gotten here and there's all these mental health. There's a lot we can say about the system. Yeah. We'll just keep it right there for now. But you go there and you experience that, oh my God, they're like incredibly talented artists here as well. And it just goes to this thing of whether it's that experience that you've talked about with your journey. That's what I love when people say they've had lines around their journeys. Like it puts you in a position to be awkward and grow and realize that the way or track you're on may not be the only way or the right way. It's just a way. And you always have the ability to choose. I remember one of the best trips I've gone through is when I graduated college, me and my best friend, we went to London. It was an amazing trip there. We went for like a music festival. And I remember sitting there and we were there for about a week, maybe 5 to 7 days. Mm. And I remember seeing at most two homeless people, right? And I know you and I both live in Atlanta, Megan, so I can probably go two blocks and see 10 homeless people, right? So again, very different, you know, country and very different perspective on how you treat people. And that those types of experiences compared to the prison experience is like, are we doing this right? Is this the right way to be viewing this? Do I have like my own bias about what this thing actually is?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's really required and what I totally get it. Yeah. It can be very eye-opening to have that exposure and just, there's something to be learned. We're not all that different.
Not at all. Not at all. So you mentioned kind of having this journey, right? Starting off within teaching, starting to, transition into nonprofits and nonprofit leadership, and then now working within tech with nonprofits there. How was it transitioning into tech specifically?
Well, I like laugh because I never say I'm in tech. Like when you ask, when you told me this, I was like, oh, that's weird feeling. I don't know why, like transition to tech. Because I always just, I really, just say I help health and human service organizations serve individuals with dignity and demonstrate impact. And that's because I really struggled to do that when I was in the seat of working in a nonprofit is how do we, I think I always really hated when I said I was in nonprofits and people were like, that's so sweet. And I'm like, it's still a paying job. Like, what in the world, And I just really want to help more nonprofits and I want to help more of the community see that this whole essence of the podcast, it's not that different and we're not compartmentalizing all these roles and saying how can we actually work together in this? And nonprofits really deserve the same technology or resources or whatever that these for-profits so that we can do a good job because I think and I recently read an article, I'll have to find it again, but it was showing the whole economic impact of all nonprofits. And it's like, oh, those trees that you enjoy seeing, those would go away. The art you would, you know, and all the different ways that nonprofits that we really take for granted. And yeah. And so that's really how I landed in tech. I was never like, ooh, I want to be in tech. And so I think it was that, it's that just has always fueled me, you know, and some nonprofits are more ready for it than others. And some leaders really, you know, it's just a difference of culture and mentality on nonprofits. And then quite honestly, I'm lazy about administrative things. I'm really honest. I'm always looking for a faster way to do it. And that's also where my experience working as the executive director, I was like, how can we, you know, make this faster? How can we be more savvy with this? I was like, wait, where's our donors? Like, we need to be generating this. And they were like, here's a thumb drive, you know? And I was you know, like, oh my goodness, there's gotta be a better way. Just because we shouldn't be wearing so many hats. And so that's honestly how I landed in technology. And I, again, to the point, I like laugh because I'm like, oh, here we are. And I'm guessing a lot of people have that same story. I was really thankful, you know, that my role is still very consultative and I'm able to use my past experience in teaching as well as nonprofits to really talk the language and say, like, I've been there. And I want to make your life easier. And how can we really help you expand so that you can expand your mission more effectively?
Yeah. That was probably one of the best ways to answer that question. It wasn't, you know, we talk a lot on this podcast about, you know, a lot of people fall into tech. Some people are very specific and like choose to be in tech. But what I heard you say, Megan, is that I wanted to solve problems. I wanted to help people. I knew the challenges and pains because I experienced them myself. And it just so happened tech was the way I decided to solve that problem, which is, again, the most human way to have that, right? Doctors, you know, want to help people and, you know, medicine is the way they solve that, or teachers, right? Education. Like, so I love that you were very specific about just the help and the passion to drive a success, right? Mm. For others in nonprofits, and tech just happened to be the way to do that.
Exactly. And I think it, you know, takes a leadership to acknowledge that. Cause I'm like laughing when you mentioned earlier, like, oh yeah, on paper, it does look really windy. I'm like, how do you display that? And I think it takes leadership to be able to look at that and go, oh, I see how this translates. Cause I remember at one point in my journey, just being like, I don't know what I want to do. You know, I think we all probably have those moments and, you know, and diving into it. And I remember meeting with a woman, she was like, yeah, your path really doesn't set you up for this. And she was, you know, and I was trying to like explain it. And that was a really big red flag of like, oh, that's not where I'm meant to be. You know, I want a leadership. I want to be in an environment that really respects that diversity of outcomes of your experience and really how does that all translate? So it's and I do think tech lends itself more to that. Obviously differs across, I don't want to stereotype at all, but it does lend itself to that and encompassing. And so that was more my view and just. So all that to be said, it's not always easy. Some people are very, this is the way, you know, you check all the boxes. And so I've been able to do that.
These are people who haven't been on prison trips or gone to London.
I'll take you to East Tennessee now. That's so true.
It's so true. Like, these are people who were like, you do the thing and you do it for 40 years and then you retire. Totally. And that just isn't
reflective, so I think, of life. I'm so thankful that, you know, we live in a world that appreciates that and respects that. And and really helps say, if you've got the baseline, and it's just like sometimes jobs just need the skills, right?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times I think to that path, right, a lot of it shows the learning, right? Whether it's, like you said, math or art or teaching or nonprofits or whatever it is, right? Like, it shows that you can learn. which is the biggest thing as you're transitioning in this fluid career path. What lessons did you learn early on, right, from teaching that you translate to what you're able to do today here?
Yeah. So it goes back to exactly what I shared earlier, like, oh, I don't talk about teaching that often, but I use those skills so much on a daily basis. Yeah. And in fact, they're kind of my secret weapon, if I'm truly honest, a little bit. And so I don't regret having taught, like, and there's days where I'm like, ooh, maybe go back. But no, I love what I do. I would say from teaching from especially seventh grade, as you can imagine, the puberty stricken age, right? It's funny because I have this weird funny thing, and maybe it's my own like weird twisted sense of humor that I feel like I can walk into a room and just be like, see each person as a seventh grader. I'm like, oh, we're all fighting that trauma that we had in seventh grade. Yes. You know, like if someone's a jerk or I'm like complaining, and it's funny because I'll be like, oh my goodness, I'll say to my husband, like, I'm on a call and they were saying this. And then he'll just call me out and go, what do you think they were like as a seventh grader? Cause he knows that's what I do. And I'm like, you're so right. And I like feel like I can just be like, hey Joe, you just really had a bad seventh grade experience. Right. So I'm always just like, we're still fighting that. You know, like, and so I think it does also just help me have a little bit of lightness, to my daily approach. But I think the most important, aside from that, that's more of a silly aspect of things. But I think the two most important things I got is, as you know, kids are wildly intuitive. Yeah. They can sense things a lot. And I think for me, it was end of the day, like my kids aren't going to learn Pythagorean theorem. They could care less about surface area. They could care less if they don't feel known, seen, and valued. If they don't have a safe space to come into my classroom. And it's not to say, and in fact, I'll be the first to tell you, my classroom was not super full. Like I ran a pretty rigid classroom, honestly, but it was a safe space that they knew there was consistency. They knew they could come in and find that. And so I always tried to create, you know, before we dove into something that made them go, oh, that's like, whether it was what you do this weekend or something more personal, that's like outside of the matter at hand. Right. I think we can be so rushed. And I'd say this translates to calls too. We get in a call and it's like, let's get to the point. What are we going at? Yeah. And I'm like, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Or, how was that soccer game with your daughter? And just trying to make sure that, you know, and so I did that a lot in my classroom, just something super silly to make them feel seen, known, valued, but also going, I'm not alone in this. I think that's the most important thing, especially in today's world, where we're so isolated and like we're kind of trying this weird connection through social media or whatever it is kids are doing. I don't know. So all that to be said, adults are the exact same. If anything, we are more jaded and more walled up. And I think as soon as you can create an environment, and it's harder, obviously, in virtual, to make them go, oof, that felt weird. That was vulnerable. But I also felt seen, you know? And I think I always just try to, you know, and obviously some on calls, some people want to share more than others. And I always respect that and help that guide that conversation. But I would say just creating a safe space, number one, is one of the biggest lessons. And then ultimately, being a guide. I'm the first to tell you, I hate being told what to do. If you tell me what to do, I'm going to be a rebel and go the exact opposite. My parents, unfortunately, had to learn that too, or maybe for better or worse. I definitely got in trouble a little bit for that as a kid. But I see that same in sales, right? Yeah. I'm just a guide. Yeah. I'm not in a, and it's hard because of the stereotype sales comes with, right? Is like, oh, you're trying to push or promote or tell. And I think ultimately, especially working with nonprofits, let's unwrap those layers of the onion as to get to your why. And I did that in teaching, and really, rather than me going, this is how you do it, I always try to like break it down and help them lead to the answer and then help them. And then that gives them ownership and pride in that. And same thing with sales of like, oh, I do acknowledge where I need this. And now I'm no longer seen as just a vendor wanting to sell something or a teacher just wanting to shove something down your throat. I'm now a partner, whether that be in teaching, whether that be in sales, however that is. I think really trying to see it as a guide and flipping that whole traditional that you and I probably grew up with of like writing on the board, here's your notes, here's how you teach. Like no one learns well that way, right? And so really, I think just seeing that translation from teaching into sales.
Yeah. So much of what you said there, I identify with, and teaching is important to me because I grew up in a family of teachers, right? I know we've talked about that. Like my mom's a teacher, sister's a teacher, aunt's teachers there. The only person in my family who does it, who isn't a teacher, still works for the school district in IT. So it's like very much an education focused family there. And to your point, it's an absolute superpower, right? You mentioned just the safety that you create or created in classrooms and then emulate here as adults. And that's everything, right? As we distill so much of this down again for yourself, you're extremely technical with, you know, math backgrounds and obviously working in tech now, or myself with a solution engineering background, engineering background, like I've learned that all those tech things are helpful. Yeah. But if you can't come in and be a human first and create safe spaces for people to be themselves, like no one cares, dude. Full stop.
Totally.
No one cares.
No one cares. It goes over the head. Yeah. You're totally right.
You have to create that space and you have to do it intentionally within every call, whether it's customers or teams, whatever. Like that is such an important part of this experience there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, you and I have seen this a ton is, you know, it's hard to get on calls and people come with their guard up.
Yep.
They're like, how much do I want to share? Yeah. And they're just like, they're going to try to scam me, you know? And you're like, no, I actually want to come alongside you. And I want to be a partner for you. And I want to lend my experience, ultimately, because I believe in your mission and I believe in you and the work that you do. And I think sometimes that's all people need to hear is I believe in you, you know?
Yeah.
And like, and yeah, it's hard because you've got this deadline of like, green pipe, do all this, you know? But I think slowing down and knowing like, go for the long run, right? In the sales aspect of things. But yeah, creating that space for people just to be open and let them do it in their own time.
Yeah. I mean, and you mentioned once you have that space, like using that space as a area or a playground to guide them, right? Or that's teaching or again in sales as well. Right.
I've like, not thought about in that space, but it's so true.
It's so important as like having that space to be to guide them and you positioning and being a true guide along that process, right? That's what teaching is. I think that's why teaching is again the superpower. It's like you're not always telling kids, hey, this is the right way. And to your point, filling up the whiteboard or the notepad that gets thrown away, you forget everything that's on it. It's like, hey, how can I create experience where that you figure it out and then that you take this lesson with you in your next step and along your journey?
Right. Exactly. 100%. Couldn't agree more.
A lot of great sales would talk about teaching as like the biggest kind of superpower. And I just can't agree more. And it's interesting comparing, I think, sales consulting to teaching because it goes back to everything we started the conversation with, like the whole prison or the London thing, because that's a bias we have here, right? We just talked about sales has this bias or perception. Oh, it's like manipulation or it's scummy, all these different things. And then you talked about nonprofits, it's touchy-feely. And then teachers is kind of in the same nonprofit realm. It's like touchy-feely. But if anyone's been a teacher, everyone's familiar with the gap, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So if anyone isn't a teacher, the gap at the beginning of the year for most states, you know, you have a, you know, state administered test, right? And teachers have a quota. You have
there's
to
reasons
have
why I'm not a teacher, Myron.
You have a quota, like you have a certain amount of those kids in your classroom have to pass that state test. And you know that at the beginning of the year, that's your quota. So you look at your kids and you say, hey, these are kids who can take the test today. These are kids who sadly, I don't know if they'll be prepared by that test time at the end of the year to test, like take it and pass. It's a very sad thing that goes to biases with itself. We'll talk about later. And there's a middle there. These are the kids that you're like, hey, I think if I spend time with them, I can get them over the hump to pass the test. 100%. In sales, it's called account planning. In teaching, that's the gap. And not only is it similar, but each side looks at the other side differently. Like, oh my God, if I'm a teacher, I'm looking at sales or corporate as like, you guys are like all numbers and, you know, manipulation is scummy. Right. And the corporate's looking at teachers like, you guys are touchy-feely. How dare you say someone can't pass that test?
Yes, exactly.
No, those are the biases. Right.
You are so right. And I love that you bring that up because I didn't even go there because so few people know that. You are held to this quota and it's like, you've got to meet this and pass this standard. And you nailed it. Yeah. And the amount of biases that do exist in that is disheartening. Yeah.
We all do the same things is the point there.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Amen to that.
You've talked a lot about like working with nonprofits. And that's one thing I appreciate about you as well is that you're very passionate. You've experienced the challenges of nonprofits. We work more in the nonprofit space as well there. It means something to be to say, hey, I felt that too, right? Mm-hmm. Putting that in a very human experience. That's empathy, right? How do you translate that nonprofit experience to now be to consult and guide others who are feeling those challenges today?
Yeah. Really good question. And I think it really comes back to making people reminded of their why. And that goes in so many capacities of life, professional. So as you can imagine, teaching seventh grade math, why are we ever going to use this? What are we going to use this for? And I shared a bit about my teaching at the middle college high school, because it was an alternative way of learning for students. And so instead of geometry, I had to learn to survey land, which was hilarious. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But we learned, we learned together and looking at the headlights as a parabola of your, and so that it was just a different, so that always was like a really good sense. And once I taught different classes, I always tried to incorporate that. Like, why do you need to know this? And especially, I think that was where I was able to incorporate a lot of the artistic side of things of just like, I see this very visually, you know, and like, that's maybe not how I always work. And so taking down to the why. And so I try to do that in teaching. I also try to do that in sales and saying like, let's dive in deeper. One thing I didn't share, one of my little side notes in my journey was doing some health coaching. I had gone back to school for holistic nutrition too. And, you know, people would come to me and be like, I just want to lose weight. I'm like, why? 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 You know, and ultimately it was like something really, really deeper rooted, you know, mm-hmm. It wasn't just to fit these pants or something. And the same thing applies from teaching to health coaching to sales is why? Why does this really matter to you? And I think it's, you know, obviously sometimes much easier said than done is to say, like, remind people of their why, because, you know, sometimes in sales, like, we are moving fast and we do want to get this sale. But I think for us to be able to take the time, pause in all aspects of life, not just in sales, and zoom out for a minute and be like, oh, why do we do that? Because I think sometimes we can move so rapidly. We lose sight of the why. It gets kind of murky. It gets kind of cloudy. So I think that's something just to remind people constantly of the why. And that being said, when they know the why, they actually know the answer. And they need the guide. It goes back to being a guide. Let them take the onus of that. Let them develop that. I don't need to tell them that. I can make my assumptions, but end of the day, they need to take ownership. And I saw that time and time again in the classroom, like, you know what, instead of me going up to the board, I'd be like, that was a really good answer. Could you take that up and share, you know, and really create fostering this classroom of like the students learning from one another and how that evolved versus I don't need to be, you know, the teacher and instructing, you know, like I can put the ego aside and let you all learn from each other and I'll just be a guide. And I think really seeing that, you know, obviously I have expertise to be able to share, but in due time, right?
Yeah.
And so I think people really do know the answer. They just need help getting there. And I would say last, people knowing the expectations and plans. So I think really just making people feel confident in knowing, like, we're walking alongside each other.
Yeah.
And same thing with teachers or in teaching is, here's the plan and expectation. I mean, all this, you know, kind of goes in together. The why,
yeah.
You know, it all kind of is all in this big mushed Venn diagram, I guess. People knowing the answers, but then just also them knowing, like, what's the expectation, laying that out up front. And so I saw that a lot with teaching of, like, here's my expectations and here's the relationship we're entering in a sales relationship. And the expectations really of, like, how we work well together.
As I mentioned, well, I can say it. I record this on something called Riverside FM for our listeners, and it does all these AI tools. If I were to take a segment and summarize, like, the sales process, it's exactly what you just said. They can start with the why, understand their process, right, and then talk about, like, how do we make that real, like, with a timeline and some steps like that. That's it. Like, there's all these different methodologies that do that. And I subscribe to a number of them as well. I think they're great to get more specific about those things. But if you're doing three things, and that's not even just sales, it's even as you talked about, right? With, like, health, like going into a gym, like I know we've talked about this. Like, I did Orange Theory for a bit there, like 2 years, huge fan of Orange Theory there. Currently working on, like, long distance running there. Before those two things, I was, like, lifting a lot there. And that was my journey across different things I needed at the time for my own fitness and all the great coaches I've met along that journey. For a session, what are you here for? Why? Like, it's so important to get that. Is it, I'll pause here. Is it possible to ask why too much? Because you talked about, you know, the why stage for having a kid. But as an adult, have you ever had an adult ask you why too much?
This is funny you asked this. And I think that there's just so many different ways of unwrapping it. Because in health coaching, they were like, I just told you why. Because I'm a pretty pragmatist. Like, I mean, I have some woo, but I definitely am pretty pragmatic of just like,
yep.
I just told you. Are you listening? You know, so I think, yes, I think, because there comes a point where you're like, you're just not listening. You know, and just saying like, oh yeah, let's just dive in. And it's maybe not even diving in, but just like always returning back to it.
Yep.
And also knowing sometimes your why changes, you know, it evolves, and being willing to go, oh, you know, this was actually the reason, but maybe it we don't always unwrap all the layers all at once, you know, it can evolve as you go. Yeah. That's a really good question.
In that playground, a lot evolves, right? I think to your point about not just the why, but the process, right? Like, that's one thing I've observed more and more in maturing is like, there's certain things that you don't have to provide the answer to, exactly what you're talking about teaching. Like, if you just provide the safe space for someone to have this playground and experience and ask the right questions, you know they're going to find their answer. But there's a certain amount of maturity, almost faith you have to have in that type of process and that type of ability to execute that versus I'm just going to give them the answer because they asked the question.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that you even brought us like the fitness world because there's definitely you're like diving into that. Yeah. Too much.
In terms of you know, health and community, I know we started the conversation off with just your love and passion for, you know, themed events. I know you've thrown some amazing things around tacos and biking and fitness there. How important is that building community for you there? Because that's something that we all experience, but it, as you talked about, like with it being COVID and it's all being kind of remote, it's hard to do, but you're doing that better than I'd say just about anyone here.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me. Really, truly. Because I do, while I try to translate this into my professional life, I really ultimately stems from my personal life too.
Yeah.
And I just think community is such a huge aspect of health, especially we are living, not to go in a total rabbit hole, but living in a huge epidemic of loneliness.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's, you know, ignites me even professionally as to like, you know, you don't know what people are going through. And if you can at least make them feel seen, even on a sales call. If your mission, you know, obviously in the nonprofit world, it's a little bit easier to be like, I'm going to go, that's your mission, you know? And so even on a sales call, that's where I'm just like, I want people to know that they have, like, they're known, they're seen. Yeah. And how that translates. And I think this really became very apparent for me. It's always been big for me. I mean, I was always a kid like, I'm going to have another party over. And my mom's like, no more. and I've always been big on bringing people together. And I think it really stayed true. Long story, I'm going to try and make this short. So I actually... and this is humorous. You can think Big Lebowski, narcoleptic. I actually was diagnosed with narcolepsy at age 16. And I mean, it is laughable. And I mean, it was like full REM cycle. It was crazy. And I went on a huge autoimmune journey. To heal myself, to like went on a huge diet, like changed diet and everything. And it had me isolating myself like immensely. Yeah. And so it made me realize like, whoa, how much community was such a huge part of healing. But it just like, while I knew community was a part of health, this whole experience just like affirmed it. And making me realize like how important it was to surround yourself with people, but also to reach out to people because you don't know what everyone's going through, right? And so through all this, I was inviting people over to have like meal prep with me. Yeah. Little did they know that I was subscribing them to this crazy autoimmune diet I was on. But it was like such a big thing for me to bring people together. And I think, you know, just like I said, there's so many people lonely and they don't really know how to engage anymore, yeah. especially in this technology world. And I think the more that we can create a safe space, full circle back, right? Yeah. And allow people to really thrive versus just going through the mundanes of life. So I just see such a huge, you know, it all cycles together. Yeah. And so I see bringing people together, whether it's for something silly, whether it's for fun. Yes, I've done a couple taco tours here in Atlanta and just other themed things, wigs and wine, a couple of things. And I think it just brings an element of like bringing people together and give them an opportunity, maybe get uncomfortable and learn from one another and get away from, I'm such like a list maker. And so sometimes I just have to stop and go, wait, at the end of the day, people matter the most.
Yeah.
And making time for that.
I love that. I think that community is just so important, right? Whether it's just day to day, whether it's things you're challenged with in life there. I always talk about me going to therapy or anxiety. Like that's a big part of my community there is people mm-hmm. identify with those things. Yeah. And you mentioned just providing that place for people to be human as well. Like that's ultimately it, right? So much of even us being on cameras all day or, you know, in Zoom meetings, whatever it is, like, I think it creates an amazing connection and exactly what we're doing here and talking, but just going to see someone, give someone a hug, like what's going on, sharing a drink. Like that's like the ultimate level of connection. And the more we do that, the more I think truly the healthier we are. And there's a lot of stats to show the longer we'll live, the more community we're a part of.
It's so true. There's so much science backing up, you know, and it's like, we're so quick to, again, this is for a whole nother episode. So quick to be like, I just need to take this vitamin or I need to take this medicine, know? And I think I'm big supporter of therapy and just being able to find that space in your people. And, you know, and it's not always easy. It causes us to, get uncomfortable to find that. But the health and the outcomes of that are just incredible.
I'm amazed at how many civilizations or cultures, I should say, excuse me, don't have all the vitamins we have, but live longer than we do. Right. And there's always one thing they all have in common. Extremely strong community.
Isn't that so true?
Every time.
You are so, so right. I've never even really, I'm thinking of all these other countries like I've traveled, had the opportunity to travel to and just, you know, real impoverished. I grew up doing a little bit of mission work through church that I grew up in, and what that exposed me to. And to your point, it was always like, how are these people so happy? And it was like they lived in a village and they lived, you know, together. And there was this huge element of community. And I think it's so easy to get in our rigid ways, go into the house, close the door, you know, and disengage. And you know, that's something my husband and I are even, we just had this conversation on Sunday. I was like, we need to just like make a little extra food and just like text people and it not be like this thing, you know, and just be like, hey, if you want to come, come, you know, and just like that's something that's much easier said than done, because it's like, we don't have time for that, or I need to get back on the computer. And it's like, let's stop and slow down. Yeah, you nailed it. And that's exactly why I love that you're creating here, is bringing together that community and allowing people to be really transparent and vulnerable, and hopefully others listening will go, oh, me too, you know, and I will do that. Yeah, let's do this together, because I think there's a huge collective impact to be had when we're all doing it.
We have to have an episode on community. I can feel it. I can feel it. We have to talk about it more.
Yeah,
we have to.
It's a big passion of mine, of just how do we bring people together.
Yeah. I know we're towards the end of our episode here, so we'll wrap up with our three C's as usual. So C3 stands for clarity, connection, and co-creation. Those are my values that have been helpful for me throughout my career journey and life journey. Clarity, we talked about a little bit with the whys, but whether it be customers, or you talked about even within the fitness perspective, or kids in the classroom, you know, how do you help those around you find what's important to them?
I think creating that safe space so we can get to the why. So constantly reminding them of the mission, the in sales, and the end goal of the project. Like, the technicality things don't really matter, right? What's at the end of it is always important.
And I love, again, you said mission specifically. That's one thing I love about nonprofits, is that it's very clear. That why is always clear, or should be clear for nonprofits. Like, why are we here? This is what we're trying to do.
Exactly. Ultimate goal.
How do you best connect with people and really move them to change, right, as we talk about that connection? So once you have that why, the next part is, hey, how do we get from A, where I'm at now, to B? How do you connect those dots for them?
It goes back to what we've talked about, is being that guide and letting them take ownership of that. Letting them identify that. And then it's like, oh, and you know, how do we walk alongside each other? I mean, it's all interconnected. Also allowing them to be very safe in that space. I guess maybe it starts with creating a safe space, reminding them of the why. And then giving them some ownership and guiding them to how we're going to make that change together.
Yeah. And it's funny, as you talk about these things, a couple of episodes we had, one of my mentors, Mike Felix, on, and even my first episode with Coach Dave, they both brought Maslow's hierarchy. At some point, we've got to have an episode about Maslow's hierarchy within relationships.
Right?
Because exactly what you just talked about, safety, community, eventually get into your why and actualization in the process to get there. That is, again, what
Isn't
we're doing within these types
so
of...
so true? Yeah. No, I hadn't even thought, but you're totally right. Like, we can't even... Like, why doesn't even matter? Like, while I've like brought it up a ton, end of the day, like, we need to create that why, and we need to get them to feel known and seen, and then we'll dive into it. So
I almost, build it though.
Right. Exactly. So I'd almost like even flip those questions. Like, how do I best connect? Well, that would be starting at the beginning and then getting that. And that's, you know, something on the call, I always like to kick off calls like, what's something about you I went learned on LinkedIn? Because I stalked you. I always ask people that. I'm like, I saw that you went to this school and you did that, but that doesn't matter, you know? And some people, it's so funny. I love this question, because some people will like tell me what they do day to day, and that's cool, whatever, you know? I'm like, and other people are like, oh, I just went on a yoga retreat and I did this. And I'm like, that's awesome. And so, you know what I'll do is every time I talk to them, I'm like, oh, have this, or have a great like Shavasana kind of day, you know, or whatever it is, like something silly to just make them a little bit know, you know, that scene. So I guess I'm going off on a side tangent in terms of you asking about how I connect. I would say I do that before then I clarify. Yeah.
This is why I appreciate you, Megan, and I'm 1,000% stealing that question.
You should.
That is amazing.
It's so I'm asking good all, of all what my customers people will share, or just like small things. Like I love asking questions that are going to take them a little bit off script and like, you know, and again, not everybody, it's not everybody's jam. As my sister says, she's like, not everyone loves your themed parties. You know, and so I respect that. My sister and I are drastically different, and I am so thankful we are so drastically different. She's a wildly Enneagram 6 and I am a 7, and we can sometimes conflict, but she has taught me so much to make me go, that's not everybody's jam. You know, I will chill out and respect the space. Yeah.
No, I love it. I'm definitely using that question from now on. First couple minutes of the call. What can you tell me that I can't learn on LinkedIn there? Yeah. I love it.
it breaks down some barriers for sure.
And the last C is co-creation. So we talked about the why, we talked about getting from point A to point B. So often, particularly in sales, we have these like project plans or mutual success, whatever you want to call it, right? Hey, that plan to getting from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. But exactly as you mentioned, sometimes wise change, life happens, and wait, I don't know if this is the right thing, or we kind of feel rocky about going with this because everything's happening on. How do you have that conversation and almost re-co-create a plan to work together and be successful?
You know, there's so much to this, but I think it's just constant communications. Really, you know, being willing to have those hard conversations at times. Be willing to listen without the need to respond. And I think that's important in every aspect of teaching, of sales, of everything. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier is be a guide. Be willing to listen, not to push your own agenda, to go, okay, you know, and still again, provide your expertise. Say, you know, typically when I see this, you know, this or best practices, because end of the day, that's why they're coming to you, right? They're like, I really don't know. And we can't expect people, you know, they're coming to us because they're like, I don't want to learn tech. I don't, you know, like I'm relying on you as the expert, and still, we can still do that. But still be a guide in that sense, you know, of saying like in creating that, you know, sprinkling in the education aspect of things. So I think the big thing would be listening, not just to respond, and knowing, like I tell every customer, I haven't done my job if you don't have a sense of confidence and ownership in whatever decision it is that you make. Because end of the day, and so kind of the same thing, you know, with teaching, with whatever it is in life, like we're a guide, and my goal is to instill confidence in whatever the direction is, but I'm also here to listen. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Megan, for coming and sharing your lessons, your values, for guiding us with all this these gems you dropped today.
Thank you. No, as I mentioned, like when we were chatting, we had lunch the other, just a couple months ago now, and you brought this up, and I was like, teaching? Well, this is fun. I like kind of keep that as a secret part of my life. And you're like, no, I want to know more, you know? And it was like actually really, therapeutic's not the right word, but really just appreciate the opportunity to reflect and being able to expose people to go, we are all on this path and journey together, and there's so much we can learn from one another. And it's all interconnected, for sure. So I appreciate the opportunity and what you're doing to share that with others.
No, thank you for joining. And that's exactly our why for having this community, right? Yeah. Is we're all connected. We're on the journey together. And there's a lot we can learn, experience, and share along this journey together. You've shared so much with us today. What can we give back to Megan here?
Oh, you're awesome. I think just like stay curious and be open to what you're going to learn from others. And I think that just is going to create a ripple effect the more that we And I mean, for me to say slow down is like humorous for anyone that knows me well, because I am like, I just love speed. I love every, you know, and I think it takes time to slow down, to be curious, and be willing to learn. Yeah. So I would ask that from your listeners. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we appreciate you so much, Megan. Thank you for sharing a great conversation, great gems with us. Wouldn't be surprised if we have another one about community soon, but
let's do it.
Again, thank you for today. Thank you for the conversation, gems.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Myron. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
See you. Bye-bye.
And wait, friend, before you move on, take the time to gift yourself the sea of clarity or community. With so many pulls for our time and attention today, one of the best gifts we can gift ourselves is a moment to simply breathe and be present. To gently process our experiences, emotions, and thoughts with grace and non-judgment. To do this, take the next two remaining minutes of today's episode to practice simply paying attention to yourself. Or maybe gift yourself and or others community by connecting with us online. You can thank today's guest, share your experience and lessons, or connect with others as well. To do this, go to the website c3.community or our C3 Community LinkedIn page, or of course, our YouTube channel. As always, friend, thank you for listening in and for choosing to be a part of our community. We hope you take a few precious moments for yourself. See you soon.